live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Coming up around 5:40, Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. But right now, it's never a dull day when you get to visit with a Heisman Trophy winner. But there's more to the story. First of all, Mike Garrett, the 1965 Heisman Trophy winner from Southern Cal, the first of the Heisman Trophy winners from Southern Cal, Kansas City Chiefs legend and more. Mike, thank you again for taking time out with us.
John, it's a pleasure being with you.
You know, I look at these things. You know, we've talked about this when we had you on the first time. We talked about the fact the first, you know, first Heisman Trophy winner at Southern Cal, the first NFL back to have 1,000-plus yards rushing for two different franchises as far as in the NFL. I'm going to give you a last this time, though, because I was shared with it when we visited with you before. You were the first Heisman Trophy winner to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You're also the last running back to score a touchdown on the ground in an AFL-NFL World Championship, because after the fourth one, you know, they did the retroactive thing and made it Super Bowl 1, 2, 3, and 4. But we got our true first Super Bowl the very next year. But so we got a little bit of first times and last times with you.
John, you're amazing. You come up with these facts that I'd never even thought about. And then when you say them, I'm going, yeah, okay, yeah. So thanks.
I go back, you know, after Green Bay won the first two championship games, the Super Bowls, now that we call them, everybody was saying, the AFL was never going to win a Super Bowl. Well, Joe Namath and the Jets win it as far as the 68 season, 69 Super Bowl, and then here comes you and your teammates making it back-to-back, and it was a run, too, over the next 13 years total. The AFL, then AFC, 11-2 against NFC competition in the Super Bowl.
That's amazing when you consider. I remember being in the league when the AFL and the NFL were competing, and we didn't quite match up. Didn't take us much time, but that's amazing stat now.
When you were taking the field with your teammates against Minnesota in that 1970 Super Bowl, you know, did it feel like a Super Bowl? Did it feel like a different game? Because, you know, to me, until the AFL won a game, probably it's like, okay, thanks for participating. We'll get you a participation trophy. But knowing that you and your teammates had a chance to actually win it, did it feel like a much bigger game than normal?
You know, it felt big, but the first one was big because it was in L.A. Memorial Coliseum, where I grew up in L.A., and I was a big NFL fan. So to play the Green Bay in L.A., and I'm with the Chiefs, so that was pretty big to me. Number four, when we beat Minnesota, that was in New Orleans. That it was bigger than life, but and also, like you said, it was amped up because Namath had a great game with the New York Jets and won and beat Baltimore the year before. So you're right in that sense, but I had some personal things that make me pretty exciting for me to just be there.
You know, one of my favorite coaches, you know, I'm a big fan of history, college football, NFL as well, and one of my favorite coaches of all time, Hank Stram, and he was your head coach with the Chiefs. What was it like? Because this guy had a sense of humor. Obviously, you want to get down to business and win games, but also at the same time, keep the players loose. What was he like playing for?
He was never dull. He was constantly pushing you. He had great humor. And you can be pretty direct. But the one thing, you always loved him because you knew he was preparing you to win. And that was most important. Hank did just a great job for us.
You know, just like the Jets the previous year against the Colts, jumping all over them early, your squad against Minnesota did the same thing. You know, you led 16-0 at halftime. And you look at what you were able to do as far as, you know, being able to score there to get those points. You scored the only touchdown in that first half. At that point, when you score that touchdown and to give your team that 16-0 lead, did you feel pretty good that this was going to happen, that you were going to be the champs that year?
We felt pretty good because we knew we had a great defense. And of course, it was two teams with two great defenses. The Purple People Eaters in Minnesota were awfully good defensively, too, and Carl Eller and company. They were terrific. And so we were up 9-0. I looked at the bench and I said, we may win this with a shutout and no more scoring. And then we scored the touchdown, went up to 16-0. But that was pretty exciting, and it was a game we believed that we had strong enough defense to finally beat someone in the NFL.
What does having a Super Bowl ring, what does that mean to you?
You know, what it means to me is that I played with the best and we won the biggest game in football.
And then you also compare it with the Heisman Trophy as well. I mean, when you start thinking about things that you want to accomplish, because football is a team sport, you know, you can say the Heisman Trophy goes to an individual, but without your teammates, you're not going to win that, and you're certainly not going to win a Super Bowl ring with just individual accomplishments. You've got both, and, you know, they're high on that list. If you ever play that sport, if you ever play football, if you can say you have both of them, then you're pretty sure you had a pretty good career.
And also say, Johnny, it's a lot of fun, and I play with great people in a great town. And, hey, we have a chance to win it this year, too, so it's exciting.
What's that like, you know, knowing that, you know, you were able to get the first one for the Chiefs in that in 1970, and then watching like almost a rebirth and going back down memory lane with the Chiefs franchise and watching what the Chiefs did last year and certainly – has, you know, they have a wonderful opportunity to pull it off, make it back-to-back years.
I'm telling you, the city of Kansas City is just glowing right now because I feel very, very good about it. And we always wanted a dynasty, and we didn't quite pull it off the first 4 years in Kansas City, but we were awfully good. Now they have a chance to win two back, the second one back-to-back. That's pretty exciting, and the town just lit up, and you can't walk around without someone having a Chief garb on or some big smile, and you look at them, and I say, I know it's about the Chiefs. They go, absolutely, it's the Chiefs. So it's really exciting times.
You know, I had Drew Pearson on last week, and he's the lone senior finalist to, as far as the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one of the finalists this year, and certainly hoping that he gets in. And, you know, your first thoughts, like, why is he not already in? And I'm thinking, you go back, starting with Kansas City and what they were able to do. Kansas City, a very successful team in the 70s. And you also had, and just on the AFC side of thing, you had the Oakland Raiders, the Miami Dolphins, Pittsburgh winning four Super Bowls. Dallas, yeah, they won the only team from the NFC to win a Super Bowl in the 70s, and they won it twice. But I think the problem is you had so many outstanding teams, you know, and just basically keep handing off the torch that you see where, like, it took Kenny Stabler after he passed away to finally get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. A lot of times we get into the numbers game, and unfortunately it's also a situation where we forget just how outstanding some of these players were.
Johnny, you hit the nail on the head. Too often we go black and white mean with statistics, and they don't think about playing on a championship team. They don't talk about these people, these individuals who just influenced, you know, 50 other guys and played great football. And I think it shouldn't just be on narrow stats. It should be on what one brought to the table as to making everyone else play better too. And so they don't put that component in there, but and you just do, and then many years later, you just think about what was his stats, and it could be misleading. There are some people with better stats who don't make it or never won a championship game, and I just think that Pearson should get in there because he was with a great team and he played very well.
Once again, visiting with, once again visiting with Heisman Trophy winner Mike Garrett. You know, you're not one of these like Derrick Henry types, you know, 6'2", 200 plus. If you're a quarterback, one to run away if you see it coming. But you played tough, and people who remember you playing not only at USC but also in the NFL. I mean, you played, what, at 5'9", around 185, 190 or so. What did you have to do physically week in and week out to keep yourself in the kind of shape to be able to perform on a given Sunday in the NFL?
You know, every time I hit the field, I pushed. And it's interesting you say that, because I was coaching at a neighborhood high school here, Rockers High School, and we had a little running back named Wilson Seltzer. And he came to me, his parents came to me late. He says, all he did was think about what you said. Every time, practice or game, you go full tilt. You never leave anything to question. And that's what I had to do to survive in the NFL.
And you were tested that way when you were at USC. You know, they tested your toughness. I remember one session as far as practice to see just how tough you were. John McKay, your head coach at the time, basically before you even got into a game situation to see what you would do, wanted to see exactly how far can I push Mike Garrett. And I remember there was a particular practice that he did push you, and he saw exactly what he was going to be able to get out of you.
You know, you're bringing back memories, because I won't forget the times we were in practice and he would push me. I would run eight plays in a row and then take one play off and come back with five plays. And he says, you know, to win, we got to be tougher. And that's what I learned in college and I'm trying to practice the rest of my life.
When we go back, you know, this is the time of year, Super Bowl Sunday coming up next weekend. It can't but help, you know, you have to certainly, I'm sure you have some flashback memories and moments when you played in the Super Bowl. You know, what comes to your mind, especially from the pregame standpoint, the fact that the reality is, hey, I'm getting ready to play in a Super Bowl. What comes to your mind when we have each and every year Super Bowl Sunday?
You know, the thought comes, Johnny, that when I was playing was, am I ready? Am I ready? And I think that's what I'm saying. Are the Chiefs going to be ready? And I think they are. And can they win the second one? I think they can. And that doesn't mean that Tampa Bay played a very good game last week and probably played some of the best defense I saw all year. But I still believe the Chiefs are ready and they can do it.
Something else comes to my mind, and, you know, being around sports most of my life, you know, I think about players who maybe they dropped a pass or maybe they fumbled on the previous opportunity, and how are you approaching it? Are you remembering it, what just happened, or are you thinking, okay, I'm going to make a play right here? Because if you're – I'm just thinking, and I don't know if you ever had to go through this as a player, but if something negative happens the previous play that you were a part of, if you start thinking about, I don't need to drop the ball again, I don't need to be, then you're going to probably drop the ball again. How did you approach it when things did not go your way on a previous play?
I always thought about, someone's going to have to pay for this. I messed up and someone's going to pay for it. And it always worked to keep me going.
I think that's great advice. I think that's great advice for no matter what sport we're talking about.
Yeah. I do, too. It's been very successful. And all the times of the years I was at USC, the young kids would come up to me and I was the time to say, you know, what would you do? And I said, take no prisoners. And it just conveyed a thought, and they locked into it. And that's what I had to do, too.
Mike, before we let you go, you know, certainly COVID-19 has impacted all of us in one way or another. I can't imagine, especially if you're a college football player or you play in any kind of sport, high school, college, doesn't matter, and even in the professional ranks as well, you know, just, you know, there's enough mental obstacles out there anyway, and then you're dealing with something that nobody has an answer to. From the standpoint of watching what has transpired over the last 12, 13 months, what are you thinking as far as, and if you were a player having to deal with that, you know, what would you be like having to deal with those type of things that's on your mind besides the normal obstacles that are part of your sport?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think the season in the NFL and very smart to play the season out, because it took courage to do that. And one thing we're facing in this country right now is having the courage to do the right thing. And so it's very exciting. And so as this game approaches, I mean, I just want people to think about one thing. You're playing your best. You get ready. And if you're ready, you'll play, and your team will play well, and you make a city terribly proud. So pretty exciting stuff.
Chiefs going to get it done again this year?
Yes.
I wouldn't expect a different answer from you. Mike, thank you so much again for taking time out. It's always fun visiting with you, and I can't wait for the opportunity to talk with you again. But until then, all my best to you and your family, and continue to stay safe, okay?
And Happy New Year to you, Johnny. Thank you.
Happy New Year to you as well. I appreciate that. Thank you again.
Yes. Take care now.
All right, buddy. That's Mike Garrett, the 1965 Heisman Trophy winner. Once again, a member of not only Southern Cal, the first of those Heisman Trophy winners with the Trojans, but with the Chiefs and their win over Minnesota, which later became Super Bowl IV, the first Heisman Trophy winner ever to score in a Super Bowl. It's always fun catching up with him. Open segment coming up. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. 844-5600. Quick reminder, you know, on average, a DUI can set you back $10,000. It can also cost you your life. So remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Good afternoon. It's still heavy at times here on 24 westbound up by Ellington Parkway. As you make your way up through parts of East Nashville, they've had that police situation going on for quite some time at Trinity Hill, or Trinity Lane rather, there at Brick Church Pike over in the Trinity Hills area. That's Trinity Lane at Brick Church Pike. Avoid that area. Concord Road at Nolensville Pike, still working that crash. It's picked up even more so now out into Mount Juliet on I-40 going east. You never know when you're going to need them. Free at last, Bell Bonds, serving Davidson, Williamson, and Rutherford Counties. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Hey, listen up, football fans. I got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called Same Game Parlay Bets. They're available only at FanDuel Sportsbook. A Same Game Parlay Bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the first round of the playoffs. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel let you place a Same Game Parlay Bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers, you can get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. Playoffs are the perfect time to get one. I love the ease of use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, easy to get your money within 24 hours after you win. And download that FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Be sure to use my promo code GregP to sign up.
What's that promo code again, Greg?
John B., it is GP GregP. GregP, yes it is.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Frank's Red Hot is the perfect blend of flavor and heat. That's why you can use an entire bottle to make buffalo chicken dip. The kind you might make for when you're watching the game at home. And maybe this year there's less people around to watch the game with.
Yay!
But that just means there's more dip. And it's all for you. Some of you may say, that's too much dip. But deep down in your heart of hearts, you know it isn't. So go ahead. Finish it. Frank's Red Hot, don't judge. Frank's Red Hot. I put that sh** on everything.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Because when you find the perfect home, you don't want to lose it to anybody else. Rocket technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers and their agents greater confidence in you. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this, what can help you buy the home you really want? Rocket can. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET. That's rocketmortgage.com or call 8338-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information, appraisal, and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
By state.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, rain showers change over to snow showers as we head into the evening, and temperatures fall to the mid-20s overnight. For Thursday, partly sunny and temperatures near 40 degrees. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600, 844-5600. You know, last hour we talked about our thoughts going out to the friends and family of Coach Charlie Anderson. Certainly, I got to know him back in my Tennessee State days when he was the head coach with Aquinas, but passing away at the age of 86. And then we learned a few minutes ago that Cloris Leachman, Emmy Award winner, Oscar winner as well. You probably don't remember her as an actress, I'm assuming, Zach, but she passes away at the age of 94. She won her Academy Award for a movie that I had no business seeing at the age of 10. I'll just leave it at that, but The Last Picture Show. But Cloris Leachman passing away at the age of 94. Earlier today, we got, in fact, it was around, I guess, 2 o'clock or so, we get the 2021 SEC football schedule. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, my first thought, Zach, is like, so I see these non-conference games. And my first thought was, I hope these games are played. I mean, that's you know, based on what we went through this past year. But with that said, you know, I look at the opening weekend, some of the games that stick out to me. LSU travels to play UCLA. Georgia is taking on Clemson in a game that's going to be held in Charlotte. You have Alabama versus the Hurricanes of Miami over in Atlanta. On that Monday night, Labor Day night, Ole Miss will also play in Atlanta. They're taking on Louisville. And those are the games that stick out for me. Vanderbilt will open the season at home against East Tennessee State, while Tennessee will be hosting Bowling Green that Labor Day weekend.
That's a fun thing.
we go into the second week, some interesting contests. How about Arkansas, Texas? You know, two former members of the Southwest Conference. They'll be playing each other in Fayetteville. So Arkansas taking on Steve Sarkisian and his Texas Longhorns in week two. So that sticks out for me a little bit. Ole Miss, by the way, in the second week, after they play Louisville on that Monday night, on Labor Day night, they host Austin Peay coming up the weekend of September 11th. So that, and then Tennessee, actually, I think this might be an interesting game for them in the sense they take on Pitt. So Pittsburgh coming to town to Knoxville September 11th from the ACC.
What do you, you probably already said, but the Vanderbilt Stanford game here, Stanford coming to Nashville. How do you?
Yeah, September 18th.
That's not a bad one.
No, so Vanderbilt starts their year. So if you look at the month of September, Vanderbilt's first four games, they host East Tennessee State, they travel to play Colorado State, then they host Stanford, and then they host Georgia. Those are the first four games. Tennessee, they host Bowling Green, they host Pitt, they host Tennessee Tech, and then they'll wrap up September going on the road to play the Florida Gators.
They go, it's all SEC near the end, though, right? I mean, they start their SEC play. It seems like they don't play anybody SEC for the first 4 weeks, correct?
Tennessee, their first conference game for Tennessee is week four.
I'm talking about Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, when you look at their non-conference teams, they get four out of the first five as their non-conference. They get them out of the way.
Yeah.
And so the last seven are all SEC opponents.
So they could have one of those. Yeah, they could have one of those good starts where they're, you know, looking better because they're beating non-conference, and then all of a sudden the SEC plays and it's a sinking ship.
Well, Colorado State, not going to be easy. Stanford, not going to be easy.
No, it's not. So,
and at this point, I don't know what UConn is, and that's where Vanderbilt will play them. We'll host them on October 2nd, so it's still early to tell. You know, the other teams we're talking about, how about this? Mississippi State will host Tennessee State in Starkville November 20th. So you look at some of these non-conference matchups in November. Alabama gets New Mexico State the second week of November. Arkansas playing all SEC the last four. Same with the Auburn Tigers. Florida will throw in a Samford, not Stanford, Samford out of Birmingham as far as one of their final fours. Georgia will have a Charleston Southern, and they get the – I'm glad to see these games getting played as far as the rivalry games, you know, seeing Florida, Florida State, seeing Georgia, Georgia Tech again. So I'm looking forward to those kind of matchups, Kentucky versus Louisville. And how about South Carolina, Clemson? Missed those games as far as 2020 was concerned.
Well, I'm going to steal Teresa Walker here, though, but she said it. Do we put it in pen or in pencil?
That's why I was hesitant. Is that sad? My first thought was, if they're able to play, major thumbs up. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see where we are with COVID-19. We'll see where we are with the vaccines. I'm optimistic. I'll just say that, especially if you're traveling within like state lines. I mean, if you're just going over one state, like, you know, or how about, for example, Clemson and South Carolina, they're both in the same state. Same with Georgia, Georgia Tech. So those games I'm more comfortable with. But like a Stanford coming all the way across the country to play Vanderbilt, that's the kind of one of those games where let's just play the wait and see kind of thing.
Yeah. And two, it's like, it's the same thing we said during COVID. It's until the changes happen, they have to act like there are no changes. And that's just kind of where they are right now with making all these schedules.
And look, you know, players, you know, can adjust. You know, that's the funny thing. You know, when you think about what the players went through this past year, especially in the college ranks, you know, young players, it's like, whatever. You know, it's like I remember talking about, you know, when the first week of the year and you have a team, you know, most of the players want to start off with a big opponent, you know, a power team from another Power 5 conference, for example. So whether you're talking about an Oregon squad, if you're Auburn, or in this case, the Hurricanes of Miami against Alabama, as a player, you want to start out of the gates with a big time opponent because it gets you fired up, you know, as far as the practices leading up to that first game. You know, the last thing you want to do is start off with, no offense, but New Mexico State or Samford in week one.
Well, like the Vols and Bowling Green.
Yeah, although, I don't get cocky if you're Tennessee to start.
No, it's a big
game.
That's what I mean.
These.
I'm serious. That's a big game for
every
them.
Game
they need
will
to
be
win that.
Every game will be big for Tennessee for the next couple of years, based on what we think might happen as far as from a probation standpoint. But in normal years, you know, players want to be challenged. Now, on the opposite side, a lot of these head coaches, especially the ones that are just trying to find a way to get to 6-6 or 7-5 so they get the bonus for getting into a bowl game. And so if you're that guy, then the last thing you want to do is start the year 0-1. So, but if you've got a team rocking and rolling year in and year out, you want to establish yourself early on. I mean, put it this way. Has Alabama lost any of these games, these non-conference classic games to start a year? You know, we go back to 2008 to where we are today. No, they haven't. They've knocked off all these teams. So for them, it's like, okay, we send a message. We start the year on a high note. We get everybody focused in those hot summer days leading up to week one, and then we're ready to go. And we usually can count on being 1-0 to start the year. And until you haven't, but at this point, you know, who's going to say that Alabama will ever lose one of these games under Nick Saban?
Is he been good for Alabama? I didn't know that. Can you tell me more about it, Johnny?
Yes, I'm just saying. You know, we look at these scheduling stuff, but you know, like I said, the players, they don't mind. You know, they don't want to see the easy opponents. They want to be challenged. They want to be tested. As Sindarik Marks told me, the former Auburn Tiger, and he actually played for not only the Tennessee Titans, but also Jacksonville as well. I remember at SEC Media Days, he once told me, it's like, oh, yeah, we want the big name opponents. We want to see and match our talents with the best of the best to see how we rank, you know, personally and also as a team. Coaches sometimes kind of back off of that, but the players, they want that challenge.
So. Well, you know, for Tennessee and Bowling Green, that might be a pretty equal playing field that day.
You know, my wish for Tennessee, whatever it's going to be, if there is probation, that they get the news sooner rather than later so they know what they're up against and then they can move forward. I don't want this dragged on. You know, if you're a fan of Tennessee, as far as the Vols are concerned, you don't want it to drag on and go halfway through the season, because until you know, I'll just say it this way, it's the bottom, right? Until you know what that is, it's tough to move forward. It's tough to, you know, tell recruits, okay, this is where we are right now, and everything from this point forward, we're moving up. We're going forward. We're moving ahead. But until you get to that, until you get that announcement, it's tough to do. At that point, you're just speculating.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing about rock bottom. It's got a little wiggle room in there.
Absolutely. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll talk some NFL, Super Bowl, and more. Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. We talk about them all the time. Great time with your friends and family. We're talking about bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. And you can keep up with your favorite teams on the TVs located throughout as well. Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, the Tusculum area. But here's the thing, too. Now two, not one, but two enhanced experiences here in Middle Tennessee. Hendersonville at Circus World, and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. And with the enhanced experiences, we're also talking about laser maze, laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, and a virtual reality roller coaster. If you want more information, go online, strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good evening. Still heavy traffic here as we look at it live on 24 westbound at Ellington Parkway, making your way up through parts of East Nashville. It's been a mess over there at Trinity Lane at Brick Church Pike on a police situation that's been unfolding over there for the last hour or so. Graycroft at Due West was still blocking traffic as they wrap up that crash at Concord Road at Nolensville Pike. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks March 27th. All the details, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
You know, with most of the college football season over and done with, my buddy James Warren, who I went to BGA with and now owns Sir Speedy of Music City, he turned out to be right. My picks this year stunk.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the Gifts for the People.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of Gifts to the People, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be Gifts to the People in the near future.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
R&M Printing in Mount Juliet is reminding everyone to please give blood. By doing so, you may save a life of a child, surgery patient, or accident victim. So give blood. It's safe, it's simple, and it's needed. This message courtesy of R&M Printing, located at 7803 Lebanon Road in Mount Juliet. Trust their 30 years of experience for all your printing needs. Company logos, hoodies, t-shirts, and more. Call R&M Printing at 615-453-5770 or online at rmprinting.com.
We'll be right back. What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs smoothly. A special announcement as far as tomorrow's show. Looking forward to this. One of the all-time great broadcasters as far as radio is concerned, Gene Deckerhoff, the longtime voice of Florida State football and college basketball, longtime host, or excuse me, a radio host and voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks. As well, Gene Deckerhoff will be joining us tomorrow just after 4, so looking forward to that. Right now, I'm also looking forward to our next guest, Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. So, Barry, with the lull before the storm, and I'm pretty sure that this week, a lot different than previous Super Bowls as far as the in-between time, the championship games as far as conference play and a Super Bowl, just based on the fact that it's not the big buildup that we normally get.
I don't think we need that buildup, Johnny, and I'm kind of glad we're not seeing some of it. But there's plenty of buildup because of the people involved in this game. You'll read something about or hear something about or watch something about Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes every day this week, I'm sure.
Right.
Maybe even about Andy Reid and Bruce Arians, about the Bucks playing at home, about the Chiefs trying to repeat. There's so many angles to this game. So it may not inundate us, but it's certainly out there.
The other part, too, you know, the big thing usually for players, especially if they're playing in their very first one, you know, the big they get friends and cousins and everything else trying to get Super Bowl tickets. And obviously this year going to look a lot different than previous Super Bowls as well.
Yeah, and I think the players are probably very relieved by that, the coaches, too. So I don't think that they regret that, except that maybe their families can't go. And I, you know, obviously the Chiefs were there last year, so it helps, you know, that people in the families have seen a Super Bowl, many of them. With the Bucks, they haven't been here for a long time, although, you know, Brady's there almost every year.
Right, and speaking of that, you know, when we think about, here's Patrick Mahomes, back-to-back appearances, leading the Chiefs there as far as the offense. Tom Brady, this will be his 10th Super Bowl. Do you feel like there's one over the other that has more pressure in the sense that, you know, Patrick Mahomes wants to show that last year was no accident, and then you look at Tom Brady wanting to show that, look, he can do it with another team that's not named the Patriots?
I say no to that. Had the Chiefs lost last year or not gotten there last year, then I'd say the pressure would be on that team. But no, they're both after the same goal, obviously, and they both also have different backgrounds and storylines to fill out. But I don't see that either team is under more pressure than the other.
You know, we had Mike Garrett. He played with the Chiefs in that fourth Super Bowl, although at the time it was the last AFL-NFL championship game. It didn't officially become a Super Bowl until the next year, and then they did the retroactive thing. Because of what the Jets did the previous year, to me, that fourth one, it had a full embrace of what the Super Bowl was supposed to be, because until then, everybody just assumed whoever was representing the then NFL, which is now the NFC, just assumed they were going to win, and that the AFL, now AFC, has so much room to catch up that it was going to be no big deal. The Jets changed that subject, and then the Chiefs made sure that everybody moving forward understood it as well.
Yeah, the Chiefs solidified the AFL with that win. And, you know, Johnny, they were a big underdog in that game, too.
Right.
And they were the better team than Minnesota. And they showed it, they dominated in that game. And, you know, as you look down the road, you see how many guys came out of that Chiefs team and made the Hall of Fame. That was one of the greatest teams ever.
And it's interesting you bring that up because that started the stretch with the Jets and Chiefs. 11 of the 13 during that frame as far as the Super Bowl winners came from the AFL-AFC. So everybody always assumed it was going to be the NFL. They only won twice during that period we're talking about of 13 games, and the Dallas Cowboys pulled it off both times.
Yeah, but I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench into that one, however. Four of those championships were won by the Steelers, who were originally an NFL team.
Well, you can also throw Baltimore into that mix as well, because they get beat as a member of the NFL-NFC, and then they win one as members of the AFC.
Yeah, that's right. And the Super Bowl that they won is one of the worst-played Super Bowls, maybe the worst-played of all of them.
I go back, you know, the Hall of Fame, we're going to get an announcement soon coming up in the next few days as far as the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, to me, with the players that played in the 70s, to me, that is probably the most difficult decade, mainly because of how many outstanding teams, not just above-average teams. I mean, I'm talking about Minnesota, the Dallas Cowboys, the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Oakland Raiders. And usually those kind of teams, if you're winning Super Bowls, you get rewarded with players. You know, to win Super Bowls and championships, you have to have outstanding players. And to me, from a pure numbers standpoint, I think that when we look back, do you find that that was the case or has been the case, that it's tough to judge those players in the 70s, mainly because we had so many outstanding teams?
That's a little bit of it. Yes, that's a part of it. It's the reason that Drew Pearson is not in. I mean, this year he's been nominated as a senior, and I would expect that he'll get in. But, you know, there's a great player who is a whole decade player who has slipped through the cracks. And that happens because we're limited to five modern-era players. So guys, they use up their eligibility, not able to get in because there's so many great candidates, and that's not going to ever change. And the 70s has become a decade that has had guys who fell through the cracks.
As far as when you look with only one game remaining as far as the 2020 season, knowing what the teams had to do, what the NFL had to do to make this all happen during a COVID-19, you know, during this pandemic, how would you sum up the sacrifices, the great planning, the decision-making to make this season a reality?
The first thing I'll say is that Dr. Alan Silt should be the NFL's MVP this year. The work that he and his staff did, the plans and procedures and protocols they came up with that have worked pretty well, better than any other sport. And remember, there was no bubble involved here either. And you've got bigger rosters than any other teams have. So that has been incredibly impressive. Then you have to really give credit to it, not so much the winning teams, but think about the losing teams that their guys stayed interested in doing whatever the protocols were. We had a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year whose seasons were over basically in October, and yet they didn't have the real breakouts. We didn't see guys just saying, you know, I don't care about the protocols anymore, we're not going anywhere anyway. You didn't see that, and that's a real that's real praiseworthy for those kind of teams. It's really very impressive what the NFL has pulled off. And, you know, let's just hope the next season is needed to be played in the same manner.
Barry, when we think about, you know, there were several players that opted out as far as 2020. You know, for those that did play, to me, when you have to face adversity as a group and you overcome it, maybe you didn't enjoy the success that you wanted to, but at least you went through something as a collective group. You've got a certain bond. Will it be tough for those players who opted out to get that closeness back again when they join these teams as far as 2021?
That's a good question, Johnny. I really, that's a difficult one because I think it depends very much on the teams and how close the teams are. And remember, there are guys who opted out who are coming back to entirely new coaching staff
Right.
And, you know, who don't know them. There are some guys who opted out who are, you know, closer to the end of their career than the beginning. So that's going to be a difficult transition for them coming back. I don't think that any of the guys who opted out will be at a disadvantage as far as, well, we don't want you back type of thing. I think that the doors will be open for these guys. But it could be a big adjustment. That's a great point.
If you're a fan of football but don't have a favorite NFL team and then decide in 2021, all right, this is the year, which is a better choice? A Jacksonville team with a lot of money to spend as far as the salary cap, new head coach in Urban Meyer, probably going to draft Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback coming out of Clemson, or would you look at an Indianapolis Colts team, a lot of success as far as 2020, a lot of money as well to be able to spend as far as a salary cap, but not quite sure what that quarterback position looks like? Which two would you go with?
Well, you're starting from entirely different. You know, that's like having a horse race where one team is running a mile and a half and the other one's running a mile and a quarter.
Right.
The Colts are starting from such an advantage. Let's just start with the coach. And Frank Reich has proven himself as an assistant coach and as a head coach in the NFL. Urban Meyer has to prove he can do it in the NFL. That's number one. Number two, as you mentioned, each team has tons of money to spend, and one of them will have their quarterback for sure as they take Trevor Lawrence. The Colts are going to look for a more established quarterback, I'm sure, and probably somebody who could fit in more quickly in the NFL. I think Lawrence would be a great quarterback, but maybe not next season. So, you know, I think the Colts start from way ahead of where the Jaguars are.
If you're the Colts, obviously Deshaun Watson, that's not going to happen. I mean, the Houston Texans would be absolutely crazy to make a trade with Indianapolis. However, you know, Matthew Stafford available. If you're also Indianapolis, would you at least have some conversations with the front office of the Packers?
No, forget about the Packers. Aaron Rodgers not going anywhere. That stuff's been so blown out of proportion. Maybe if the next season, Green Bay might consider, because then you get close to the end of the contract. But the money is so prohibitive in these sort of trades with these big-name guys. Even a guy like Jared Goff is going to cost the Rams so much money to trade him, and a team that brings him on so much money to pay him, and also whatever you have to give up in a trade. So Stafford's a nice fit because the Lions have agreed to trade him. The Colts have a lot of room for a guy like that, and clearly the Colts have the ammunition to go around Stafford. I mean, they may get back their best running back. He didn't play all season. They could use one more receiver for sure, but that's a very solid team. So that I could see Stafford winding up there. I know some people think he could wind up in Carolina. Some people think he could wind up in New England. There's a lot of places that he could wind up.
I saw speculation in some of these mock drafts, speaking of New England, that the Patriots aren't going to wait around to second round or whatever, that there's some that think that Mac Jones, who led Alabama to a national title with his cast of teammates, he could be the answer as far as the Patriots. Do you see the Patriots making a move like that in the first round?
I don't even try to predict what Bill Belichick's going to do. I'm going to steer away from that question, but they need another quarterback. There's no way in my mind that Cam Newton will be back there next year.
Barry, always appreciate our chats with you. It's going to be fun to talk with you again next week. If you're not doing so, the best site, here's the thing. Let the listeners know before we let you go, Barry, what they can expect with pro32.ap.org.
Well, we've already ramped up our Super Bowl coverage. We're running 3 or 4 stories every day. Some of them very original ideas. Today we ran a story about the two old guys who are coaching these teams and how that's run against the trend in the NFL of hiring these young offensive coaches mostly. So, you know, that's a real interesting topic, and we've got a ton more that are coming out just like it.
Well, Barry, we appreciate you as always. Have a great week. Be safe, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet, Johnny. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. Coming up, we'll wrap things up for the evening. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good evening. Still heavy traffic here as we look at it live on 24 westbound at Ellington Parkway, making your way up through parts of East Nashville. It's been a mess over there at Trinity Lane at Brick Church Pike on a police situation that's been unfolding over there for the last hour or so. Graycroft at Due West was still blocking traffic as they wrap up that crash at Concord Road at Nolansville Pike. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks March 27th. All the details, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, rain showers change over to snow showers as we head into the evening, and temperatures fall to the mid-20s overnight. For Thursday, partly sunny and temperatures near 40 degrees. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Every weekday.